In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome. I'll be honest, I don't know what you all are doing here. It's Memorial Day weekend. You're supposed to be at the lake, you know. Right? Mom got you here. Yeah, I know. Just know this. You have just banked 4 Sundays worth of off time later in the year to be used however you want. So I want you to stick those 4 Sundays in your pocket and use them wisely. It is a treat to be together with you on Memorial Day weekend. It is always a lightning rod weekend, particularly in the Progressive Mainline Church. I think lots of folks show up wondering what exactly we're going to hear this year. And it's a particularly lightning rod type Sunday because it's a tender topic. Something about which on this particular weekend, lots of folks bring lots of different feelings and emotions to the experience of a Memorial Weekend Sunday. There is celebration, there is joy, there's fond recollection, and there's profound grief. There is incredible hurt and loss. And how wonderful that you would bring all that to this wonderful big place today to share that with each other. And with us, and to set that before God. It is not unlike the kind of feelings that we get to hear hidden between the lines when our readers read things. It's always, that was a treat, Tom, and a treat, Peter, to get to hear the interpretation of a couple of fascinating readings, particularly from Kings. Always nice to hear built into that the tension that the story just by the letter of the story implies, which is that there is an inherent tension in the lives we all live and within our own scripture between the God of all and the God of some, which is to say, as some you'll see hidden in the text, capital G God, right, the God of all, these are clues, and the God of some, or usually the God of us, which is a small God. Now, the trick is when those things get conflated and turned around, we find ourselves in some trouble. When capital G is given to one and not to others. So we're going to dive into that just for a second, because you now are stuck listening to my interpretation of what we just heard. If you paid attention to the news this week, President Obama made an historic visit, right? We were watching closely, I suspect. As I was mentioning to someone after 8 o'clock, I was listening very closely, recognizing even still that a great curator had already perfected the speech to be made, avoiding as many landmines as possible. But it was clear the buildup to this historic occasion was the fact we haven't done it before, B, it was full of landmines, and C, everyone was waiting, I think in a way, to be offended. And I have to say the wonderful thing about at least how I heard it, in all its what I thought to be great austerity, in all its tenderness and care and precision of language, what I heard in the midst of it was a very delicate shift in a perspective on that historical experience from what has up to now, I think, been read as an us and them occasion to a we, which is to say, this isn't simply about redrawing old boundaries and naming the historic sides to the war, but I heard within this a very clear call to share the experience as a we. And to hear that from a sitting president was powerful. It was a new kind of memorial, I took it to be, a memorializing not of the historic factions, a memorializing not of the old hurts, understandable as they are, but a memorializing of a new narrative for us as a new starting point as a we, the narrative, the memorializing as a human family, that we might all take from this shared experience a new way to understand our one relationship as children in the one household of God. Now, I expect to hear that stuff in church. But when I hear that stuff coming out of a political leader, I find that it has great power, and I was moved. I was moved to tears. The memorializing of the human family as a challenge to the narrative historically of national memorial. Scripture does this for us on a regular basis. As I mentioned, there's a tension between the capital G, God of all, and the small g, God of us versus them. It's the same tension we hear in Scripture this morning when we hear good old Elijah picking on the many prophets of Baal, who I think it's important to note was far more popular than the Lord, right? You heard the numbers, right? 450 prophets and this one poor lonely prophet to the Lord. Baal is winning market share. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And the reason is because Baal was a small god who was particularly interested in appeasing the interests of the small-minded. Baal was particularly interested in the local interests. Baal was easily susceptible to being claimed by this tribe and that tribe. And therefore, you have 450 prophets to this one. The bookstore, I'm sure, was busy all the time. But the bookstore and the prophets to the Lord was pretty quiet because its narrative was a significant challenge to the narrative of the time, because the Lord's narrative was that this is the same God we heard about in Genesis, right? The God who created the whole thing. That is not popular when you are at war. That is not the God you're looking to when you're trying to figure out how to make sense of somebody whose humanity you would prefer to keep in question. The Lord, capital T, capital L, is, for better or worse, for the whole. Baal is for us. The Lord is for everyone. It's a challenge here between national interests and cosmic interests. And I just want to name that from the get-go. These are two very different gods. And those gods are not simply biblical. They're present and alive right now. And I think it's important that we hold that tension up in the midst of our own Memorial Day celebrations, that this is the same tension we all live with. And it's not a question of good and bad. It's a question of, are we aware of the theological narratives that are claiming our time and energy, those things that are claiming our hearts? Who is it that is our God? Which God is it that has our heart and our primary allegiance? They're different gods, and it's just important to be honest about that. We hear an interesting thing in the gospel today that the centurion, the ultimate outsider in the gospels, if you're reading this, the ultimate outsider, the centurion, who's a member of the nations, remember, he's a Gentile, he's got every reason to be a Baal guy, he's claiming the power of the Lord, who he recognizes in Jesus, to do something for him and for his slave, who, according to the theological worldview of the time, were outside of that God's circle of interest. This is an outsider reminding the insiders that their God, the Lord, capital T, capital L, is for him too. And not just him, the centurion with great power and social prestige, the guy who's got credibility even among the local Jewish community, not just for him, but for his slave. Think several steps removed from capital T, capital L, the Lord. And this centurion has the gall to call on that God for his slave. And guess what? That God is listening to him too. The story reminds us that the God that we proclaim to believe in Scripture, the capital G God, capital T, capital L, the Lord and Jesus, is a God who spends a lot of time differentiating God's self from our tribal interests. And by tribal, I mean national, personal, regional, if you're big into the Midwest or the Northwest. This is a God who loves it all, for good or ill. And the challenge with a God like that is that if we love that God, then we love what that God loves. And that's a real headache. That is a real headache when we're working super hard to set up a worldview that has us against them, where we're good and they're bad. And we memorialize that worldview chronically, and we celebrate it. And yet we've got a sitting president who just went to Japan, to the center of it all, and called it into question publicly and suggested perhaps there's a whole nother worldview where we might yet again commit to see ourselves as one single human family. It's important in this day and age, particularly, where we have a global consciousness, where we are well aware domestically that division seems to be taking on market share. Baal is alive and well, on the move. We are the counter-narrative to that. Do we understand that? That that's why we're here? We are the counter-narrative to that. It doesn't always make us popular. In fact, it seldom does. It doesn't make us big. It often doesn't make us wealthy. It doesn't often put us on the front cover of the newspapers. But that's our narrative. We are here as bearers of the good news of the God of all creation. The God who is radically different than the little gods who are taking on market share right now. In fact, if you're not feeling a little bit unpopular at the water cooler on Monday mornings, you may be sitting on some gospel, right? That's the challenge to us. Our narrative is a counter-narrative. It is not simply the reinforcement of local interest. It is not simply the reinforcement of national interest. It is about claiming a God who is for the whole and who begs us to ask the question, how are we, personally, as a faith community, as a nation, a light to all nations? Not to save our own tails, but to serve a God who loves the whole. That's why we're here. That is it. And if we're not in tension with that within ourselves, then we're not doing the work. This Memorial Day weekend, I hope that we will chew on this. How it is that we might celebrate our identity, how it is that we might honor the ways that our strength is a blessing, not for us, but for others. That we might remember those who've gone before us, that we might grieve the awful situations they've been put into, and that we might commit in their honor to live a new way, to think a new way, to act a new way for the common good, if we still believe in that. It is about perspective. It is about loving the whole. Is about loving the God whose primary reason for us being together is to be one body. And truth be told, if religion has any reason in the world today, that is it. To give us a cosmic perspective, to remind the whole world that it is good and beloved and blessed, and then to see our particular place within that whole. That is hard emotional work. If we've done it, it will change the way we think. It will change the way we behave. This Memorial Day, what memorial will we establish? What lasting legacy will we leave for those who come after us? Our hymnody suggests that legacy is this, that we would sing praise to the God who reigns above it all, the God of all creation, committing again to the God of power, to the God of love, to the God of the whole world's salvation. This Memorial Day, may we ever more set our hearts on this, the memorial that unites us rather than divides us, the memorial that heals rather than hurts, the memorial that gives hope and strength and courage to all the children of God with whom we share one household. Amen.